word for the day is connections. Connections. And simply what is meant by that term connections is relationships. There's been some things that have happened recently and some things that I've read that have caused me to think about relationships in terms of this word connections. Jeff Jenkins used to preach at the University Church in Montgomery when I and some others were students at Faulkner. He's still preaching the gospel. Consider him a great friend. He wrote recently in a blog concerning connections. He writes about a book that he had recently read by Mitch Albom. Some of you may recognize the name Mitch Albom. He's the author of Tuesdays with Maury. He's written another book, Have a Little Faith. It's in this second book, Have a Little Faith, that Jeff refers to, in which Mitch Albom tells about how his boyhood minister had asked him to do the eulogy when it came time for his funeral. And in this book, he tells about conversations between him and his former minister. In one of the meetings, the minister talks to Mitch about why he did the things that he did and why he did them the way that he did. And this is what the minister said. My grandparents did these things. My parents, too. If I take the pattern and throw it out, what does that say about their lives or mine? From generation to generation, these rituals are how we remain. And then Mitch said, he kind of rolled his hands as looking for the word. And Mitch said, connected? To which the minister responded, ah, connected. Let's focus on our connections, our relationships. I invite you to think about those relationships that are near and dear to you, those connections. Jeff Jenkins wrote these words, my prayer for you is that you have some strong connections in your life and that these connections will always be dear to you. My prayer is that these connections will remind you constantly of who you are and where you came from as you live your daily life. My prayer is that we will remember the great pain that occurs when connections are broken in families, in the church, and among close friends. My prayer is that we will remember that when we throw out long-held patterns of our families, it says something about our families, and it says something about us. And then he says, connections are a vital part of our lives. They remind us of where we have come from. They help shape our lives for the present as well as the future. Connections sustain us when times are difficult. Connections. I want to explore two questions with you this morning. What causes us to disconnect from the people that we love? What is it that causes us to have those disconnections that disrupts those relationships? But then secondly, how can we connect or reconnect, as the case may be, with those that we love? Number one, what causes us to disconnect from people that we love? Selfishness causes us to disconnect. Selfishness. In James 3, verse 16, we read, for where envy and self-seeking or selfish ambition exist, confusion and every evil thing, every evil practice are present. So from that self-seeking, from that selfish ambition and envy, every evil thing, every evil practice occurs. And one of those evil practices, one of those evil things, are that they disconnect us from those that we love. James 4, verse 1 begins with a question. Where do wars and fights come from among you? James answers, do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Another version states it, do you know where your fights and arguments come from? They come from the selfish desires that war within you. What causes us to be disconnected with those that we love? In a word, selfishness. Selfishness. You may have heard a story about two friends that went to a restaurant to eat together. And each of them ordered fish. And after a moment, the waiter returned with a platter of fish on which there sat two two fillets, one very large and one very small. Well, one friend took this platter and he put the small one on a plate and handed it to his friend. And his friend erupted, "What do you think you're doing?" He said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "There's two pieces, one big, one small, and you give me the small one? What kind of friend are you?" To which his friend responded, "Well, if you would have done it, what would you have done?" He said, "Well, I would have given you the big piece and I would have taken the small one." He responded, "Well, didn't it work out that way?" And they both laughed at that. But you know, selfishness really is no laughing matter. It's the root of all conflict. It's the single greatest enemy in relationships. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If I'm only thinking about me and my needs, how's that going to affect the relationships in which I'm a part? They're doomed for destruction. Selfishness causes us to disconnect. Therefore, love causes us to connect with others. 1 Corinthians 13:5, in the great love chapter. Love does not behave rudely, verse 5. Love does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. Love does not seek its own. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not selfish. You see, love puts the needs of others above our own. It's the antithesis of selfishness. Instead of focusing on me, I'm focusing on him or her or them above my own needs. Paul describes it as the bond of perfection. Listen to it, Colossians 3:14. But above all these things referring to those things that are just mentioned in verses 12 and 13, things like kindness and forgiveness. Above all these things, he says, put on love, which is that bond of perfection, or that which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Love is that glue that binds all those good qualities that keep our relationship strong. Love causes us to connect or reconnect. Selfishness causes us to disconnect. Secondly, pride causes us to disconnect. Look with me to Proverbs 13, verse 10. Proverbs 13, verse 10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Pride only breeds quarrels, another translation states it. Pride only leads to arguments. It only leads to conflicts. But those who take advice are wise. So pride causes us to disconnect in our relationships. You see, pride keeps us from hearing each other. When we're prideful, we think, well, we know it all. We've got all the answers, even all the solutions. And so pride prevents us from practicing what James 1:19 says. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. When we're prideful, we think we don't need to listen because we've got all the answers. Pride makes us unteachable. We have the attitude, don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is made up. Pride also makes us blind to our own faults. Pride blinds me to the fact that sometimes I am a part of the problem. And at other times, many times, I am the problem. Pride keeps me from admitting that. Jesus says, why do you look at the speck? That speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank, the log, the telephone pole in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you will clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye. But you see, pride causes me to focus on that speck rather than that log in my own eye. It blinds me to my faults. Pride causes us to refuse to reconcile when there's been conflict. Pride always causes us to wait upon the other person, wait for the other person to take the initiative, to reconcile. And pride causes us to play games instead of admitting it when we're wrong. It may be word games. It may be psychological games. We play all sorts of games instead of admitting fault and asking for forgiveness. Pride causes us to disconnect. What's the antidote then? Humility. Humility causes us to connect with others. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. All of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. There's that pride. There's that pride that disconnects. Don't do anything out of selfishness or pride, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. What is humility? It's not putting yourself down all the time. It's not saying, well, I'm nothing, I'm no good, I'm worthless. Those statements are really an expression of false humility. And it's really masking a form of pride. It's not putting yourself down. What is humility? Real humility is just not thinking about yourself. It's thinking about the other person, his needs, her needs, more than you think about your own. When you focus on their needs, their hurts, their interests, what they need at the moment, that's humility. But when we focus on what do I need to say now, what's in it for me, that's pride. Pride disconnects, but humility enables us to connect. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's just not thinking of yourself at all. It's thinking about the other person. You see, humility enables us to say the four most difficult words. I need your help. Humility enables us to say the three most difficult words. I am sorry, or I am wrong. Humility enables us to say the two most difficult words. Forgive me. Forgive me. And when we can't say those words, we're prideful. And that disconnects us. Pride leads to disconnection. Humility enables us to connect. Thirdly, hurt causes us to disconnect. When we've been hurt. Proverbs 18, verse 14. Listen to this powerful verse. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. Brother Ernie, I remember something you told me one time in a hospital, talking about surgery that you had either gone through or about to undergo. You knew there would be pain. Brother Ernie said something like, you know, I can endure anything for a day. In other words, if you know that, yes, there's going to be a painful experience, but it's going to have a time limit. If you know that you're going to get through it and you're going to be better, you can endure it. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. But notice the last part. But who can bear a broken spirit? Who can be sustained when their spirit is crushed? When there is no hope? You have heard it said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words or names will never hurt me. Let's realize that for what it is. That's a lie. Yes, it's good if we can let some things go in one ear and out the other and not be affected by it. But so many times it's those words that hurt and hurt deeply. Broken bones can heal with a matter of time. But sometimes those words that are spoken in anger or putting people down hurt and cut to the core. And they cause emotional scars that some people never get over in a lifetime. Names can hurt more than sticks and stones. We still remember hurtful things that were said to us sometimes. And they often still hurt us. It's like an open sore that is never healed. And what makes matters worse is that this hurt can turn into resentment. And resentment is the number one killer of relationships. You see, hurt will not destroy a relationship, but resentment will. You see, hurt comes up in relationships. Sometimes we may say something intentionally or even not intentionally. We may do something intentionally on purpose or not on purpose, but something is said or done that causes hurt in that relationship. That doesn't have to destroy it if it's dealt with properly. But if the hurt is not dealt with properly, it leads to resentment, which will destroy the relationship. And resentment, bitterness, will also destroy us. What's the antidote? Forgiveness or release enables us to connect or reconnect with others. Listen to this statement. There's only one antidote in the entire universe for dealing with hurt. There's only one thing that will help you get over your hurt. Forgiveness. Nothing else can do it. No pill, no therapy, no book, no seminar, no tape, no trying to put it out of the way and deny it and forget it. It's not going to heal the hurt. Some say time heals everything. No, it doesn't. Here's proof. Have you ever sat in a doctor's office? Let me ask you this, knowing that the answer to that is a definite affirmative. Did sitting in that doctor's office help you get well? No. Time doesn't heal everything. In fact, time makes some hurts deeper and worse. Listen to what Jesus says, Luke 17, verses 3 and 4. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Folks, that's the only way to get over a hurt. If a brother repents, forgive him. And what if he doesn't repent? That's where I like to use the word release. Gary Chapman has written, when someone has wronged you and refuses to apologize, the challenge is not to forgive the unapologizing offender, but to release him along with that hurt and anger. You see, forgiveness implies the restoration of that relationship, reconciliation. What if that person doesn't repent? What if he doesn't feel any remorse about what he said or done to me? What am I to do then? Again, release it. Release him. Release that hurt and that anger. Because you know that if you just keep that bottled up inside, it's only going to do you harm. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness, resentment, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You see, because if we retain any of those things, we're only going to destroy ourselves. Gary Chapman also wrote, releasing a person is very different from forgiving. It doesn't lead to reconciliation, but it does free you emotionally and spiritually to become the person you were meant to be. And I would suggest this, we need to be ready to forgive. Ephesians 4:32, the verse following, says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. We need to forgive and be ready to forgive, because that's the only thing that will cure the hurt. What causes us to disconnect? Selfishness. The antidote is love. What causes us to disconnect? Pride. The antidote is humility. What causes us to disconnect with those that we love? Hurt in that relationship. What's the antidote? Forgiveness and release. With each of these things, Christ is our model. We can look at Jesus and see love and humility and forgiveness. He is our model. In fact, He is that glue that holds us together. I believe I first saw this video clip when one of my children called me into our computer room and had me view a video of a speaker, Louis Giglio, concerning a certain thing that I want to conclude with. Marvin, the master emailer, sent this to me recently as well. Louis Giglio was talking about how God knitted our human bodies together with amazing detail and wonder. Reminded me of the words of the psalmist, "Behold how fearfully and wonderfully I am made." Psalm 139, verse 14. And Louis Giglio went on to talk about how we can trust that the God who created all this can also has the power to hold it together. And then he spoke about this scientific, biological phenomena of laminin. Perhaps you've read this. Laminins are a family of proteins that are an integral part of the structural scaffolding of basement membranes in almost every animal tissue. Boy, that's a big sentence, isn't it? Translation, laminins are what hold us together. They're the connective molecules. They're called cell adhesion molecules. It's what prevents us from falling apart, literally. This laminin holds us together. You know what that cell structure of the laminin molecules look like? Here's a model. And isn't that wonderful? Was it God's design? Well, I believe God's design is definitely in our human bodies. Was it His intention that it look like a cross? I don't know. But it illustrates a very, very important truth. The glue that holds us together is in the shape of the cross. Folks, what holds our lives together, what keeps you and me from falling apart individually, is the love that's been demonstrated by God through the cross. Folks, what connects us collectively, what sustains us in our relationships, is by modeling our relationships after that relationship that God has given us through Christ and through the cross. That love, that humility, that forgiveness that's connected with the cross. And folks, it's also what connects us with God. Listen to Colossians 1, 15 through 17. Speaking of Christ, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him, in Christ, all things hold together. All things hold together. In that context, I believe it's talking about how Jesus has the power to sustain the universe. He keeps it together. But what is true of the universe, again, is true of our lives. Jesus is what causes us to be able to hold together. Jesus is the key to our relationships remaining connected. And again, Jesus is the key to us being connected to God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14, verse 6. How are your connections? Are the things that we need to do to make right some connections in our lives? Family, church family, friends. May God help us to have that love and humility and forgiveness and release that it takes to reconnect. But what about your connection with God? Do you realize that only through Jesus, only through the death that He died on the cross, can we be connected with God? And you can be connected with Him if you'll just respond to Him on His terms. Believing Jesus, turning from sin and repentance, confessing Him before men and being baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away. You can be added to His family. You can be connected with God in that saving relationship. Perhaps some of us need to reconnect with God through Christ by confessing our sins, by asking for His forgiveness. And it may be that you desire the prayers of your church family on your behalf to this end. How's your connection? There's some steps we need to take to make those connections stronger. Let's do those things. If you need to respond, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?